Greetings of the day. I, Ashima Vij, on behalf of APS Mamun, welcome you all at our podcast, Words, Birds, on the 34th episode of our podcast with the theme, Good Parenting. Raising kids is one of the toughest and most fulfilling jobs in the world, and the one for which you might feel the least prepared. I'm going to help you with 9 rearing tips that can help you feel more fulfilled as a parent. The very first is, boost your child's self-esteem. Avoid making loaded statements or using words as weapons. Comments like, what a stupid thing to do, or you act more like a baby than your little brother, cause damage just as a physical blows do. Choose your words carefully and be compassionate. Let your kids know that everyone makes mistakes and that you still love them, even when you don't love their behavior. Second is, catch kids being good. The more effective approach to catch kids doing something right is, you made your bed without being asked, that's terrific. Or, I was watching you to play with your sister and you were very patient. You have done a good job. So make a point of finding something to praise every day. Be generous with rewards. Give love, hugs and compliments that can do wonders to your kid. Soon you will find you are a growing, more of a behavior you would like to see. Third, set limits and be consistent with your discipline. Establishing house rules helps kids understand your expectations and develop self-control. Some rules might include no TV until homework is done and no hitting, name-calling or hurtful teasing allowed. You might want to have a system in place. One warning followed by consequences such as time out or loss of privileges. A common mistake parents make is failure to follow through with the consequences. You can't discipline kids for talking back one day and ignore it the next day. Being consistent teaches what you expect. Fourth point can be, make time for your kids. It's often hard for parents and kids to get together for a family meal, let alone spend quality time together. But there is probably nothing kids would like more. Get up 10 minutes earlier in the morning so you can eat breakfast with your child. Many parents find it rewarding to schedule together time with their kids. Create a special night each week to be together and let your kids help decide how to spend the time. Don't feel guilty if you are a working parent. It is the many little things you do. Making popcorn, playing cards, window shopping, kids will always remember. Fifth point can be a good role model. Your kids learn a lot about how to act by watching their parents. The younger they are, the more cues they take from you. Before you lash out or blow your top in front of your child, think about this. Is that how you want your child to behave when angry? Be aware that you are constantly being watched by your kids. Studies have shown that children who hit usually have a role model for aggression at home. Above all, treat your kid the way you expect other people to treat you. Sixth point is, make communication a priority. You can't expect kids to do everything simply because you as a parent say so. They want and deserve explanations as much as adults do. If we don't take time to explain, kids will begin to wonder about our values and motives and whether they have any basis. Parents who reason with their kids allow them to understand and learn in a non-judgmental way. Seventh point is, be flexible and willing to adjust your parenting style. If you often feel let down by your child's behavior, perhaps you have unrealistic expectations. Parents who think in shoulds, for example, my kid should be potty trained now, might find it helpful to read up on the matter or to talk to other parents or child development specialists. teens tend to look less to their parents and more to their peers for role models, but continue to provide guidance, encouragement, and appropriate discipline while allowing your teen to earn more independence and seize every available moment to make a connection. Eighth is, show that your love is unconditional. When you have to confront your child, avoid blaming, criticizing, or fault finding, which hurts self-esteem and can lead to resentment. Instead, try to nurture, encourage. Even when disciplining your kid, make sure they know that although you want and expect better next time, your love is there no matter what. And the last point is, know your own needs and limitations as a parent. Focusing on your needs does not make you selfish. It simply means you care about your own well-being, which is another important value to model for your children. Thank you.
Greetings of the day. I, Monica Sharma, is going to introduce the section School Flyers, and the news headlines are as follows. Results of classes 10th and plus 2 declared on 2nd of July. Names of the toppers from class 10th are Akanksha Pandey scored 98.4%, Ruchi Kumari scored 97.2%, and Sneha Kumari scored 96.8%. Names of the toppers from plus 2 are Palvi Jasrotia from Humanities stream scored 97%, Prince Kumar from Non-Medical stream scored 96.4%, and Kumari Ashima from Non-Medical stream scored 96%. Social Science quiz competition was organized for primary, secondary, and senior secondary students. Career Conclave was organized by Amity University for classes 10th and 12th at Ravi Auditorium on 24th July, where the students were told about various career options. Career Conclave was also organized by the teachers of APS Mamoon in the school auditorium on 25th July, where students of KV3, KV4, and APS Kandrori learned about many career options. A lecture on life skills was delivered by Colonel Rawat to the students of classes 10th and 12th. Exhibition of social science was organized on 30th July by the students, in which students came up with beautiful models and even explained the stories behind them. PTM was also organized on the same day, where PT1 results were declared. Thank you.
Greetings of the day. I, Simran of class 12T, is going to present the article Why Self-Discipline is Overrated by Alfie Cohen, published in 2008. The concept of self-discipline was popularized by the famed marshmallow experiments. Researchers told children that they could either have one marshmallow immediately or two marshmallows if they waited an undefined amount of time. 10 years later, the children who were able to wait scored higher on SAT tests and measures of cognitive and social skills. Children who look like every adult's dream of a dedicated student may in reality be anxious and motivated by a perpetual need to feel better about themselves. Educators and parents are often obsessed with the idea of self-discipline because to them, it means that their charges will do the right thing without constant supervision. They therefore set about installing a policeman in every child. As a consequence, the children internalize a value system foisted on them by the outside world. Self-discipline is a handy model for creating a self-managed and hard-working populace. But if the ambition of education is to produce independent thinkers capable of solving unique and complicated problems, then constraining the individual from within is hardly an effective approach. Self-discipline can be less a sign of health than of vulnerability. A preoccupation with instilling self-discipline may also keep people from challenging structures and environments. People who blame the failures in the education system on the individual by criticizing a student's lack of self-discipline don't question the environment in which the child is failing. When teachers seek to ingrain self-discipline, they don't contemplate whether the assignments make sense if kids don't naturally feel like doing them. When teachers are busy persuading children not to talk until called upon, those same teachers don't ask. Why does the teacher ask most of the questions in here and unilaterally decides who gets to speak and when? What worked best in the marshmallow experiment wasn't self-denial and grim determination, but doing something enjoyable while waiting so that self-control wasn't needed at all. Even the original marshmallow study that spawned the hype was not as conclusive on the role of self-discipline. Scientist Walter Mischel himself explained that his research didn't allow the conclusion that self-discipline was the cause of career success. In fact, he was more curious how children spent their time in the research lab. The children who were most successful in waiting were not the children who relied on sheer willpower to resist eating the marshmallow in front of them. The most successful children were the ones who found creative ways to distract themselves from the temptation. Thank you.
Namaskar. Today in the book review section, we are going to review this book, Simplicity Parenting, by Kim Payne and Lisa Rose. So raising children in today's world is a big challenge. Even buying toys is a fraught undertaking. What kind should you buy? Educational ones? Fun ones? And how many? Is it better to encourage children to play sports or study music or both? And how much adult stuff such as news and politics should they be exposed to? And at what age? Well, there is no single right answer to these questions. There is big thing that every child definitely needs, and that is simplicity. Simplicity in the face of all the clutter, noise, and uncertainty of the modern world. Simplicity so that they have room to grow and learn at their own pace. The hectic modern world can have detrimental effect on the well-being of children. Most people live overloaded lives. We are constantly staring at our phones or computers, and if we do look up or step outside, it's only to be bombarded by the advertisements on the billboards and the buses and the buildings. Life in today's modern age is extremely hectic. As adults, we can cope up with this constant inundations, but for children, it's a whole different story. They struggle to handle the stress caused by the cascade of stimuli, so much so that it can alter the way they behave. This condition is what the author refers to as cumulative stress reaction, or CSR. In his work as a teacher and private consultant, the author often saw children in state of acute stress, anxiety, and nervousness, all of which are symptomatic of CSR. They become hypervigilant and overly controlling, and they exhibit little resilience or empathy. Of course, a child's life should not be completely stress-free, which is just as well, since you cannot prevent them from experiencing stress and trauma. They will probably fall out of a tree or get into a fight with one of their friends at some point. But these experiences build their resilience, improve their understanding of the world, and also teach them how to behave. However, when children are constantly stressed, their resilience does not improve. Rather, it declines. Take the example of James, whose parents reached out to the author for help. They were worried about James' anxiety, which was getting worse and worse. James' parents were educated people. They enjoyed engaging in intellectual debate and staying abreast of the current events. CNN was on their household 24/7. but being constantly involved in this adult world was having a detrimental effect on their son. Eventually, he started to show symptoms of CSR. He became controlling and highly nervous. In fact, he did not learn how to ride a bike until he was 8 years old, because he was too scared about the possibility of falling off. To maintain your child's well-being, it is important to simplify his life as much as possible. Your children don't need a lot of toys. According to sociologist Juliet Skoor, an American child will, on average, receive 70 new toys per year. But children don't really need to be showered with new playthings. What they need is time and space to explore and grow. By filling your children's play area or room with lots of toys, you are giving them too much choice. This can actually prevent them from growing up at a normal, natural pace, because they will become demanding and insist on having more and more. Playtime may begin to center around material objects rather than free, imaginative play. To prevent this from happening, cut the number of toys your child has by halving the current amount, or twice, or even three times. There is no definite number of toys that should or should not be allowed. The aim is just to considerably reduce the quantity. To get started, get rid of the toys that are defective in some way. People living alone often struggle to remain a daily rhythm. So you can imagine the difficulty of keeping a consistent schedule when there is a whole family that's supposed to stick to it. When the author asks the families what their typical day is like, most respond that they have no such thing. But it's vitally important that children have structure in their days. They need predictability and regularity in their everyday lives. Without it, they cannot focus on learning about themselves and the world around them. To build structure, you need to create repetition. Mealtime, playtime, bath time, bedtime need to follow a strict routine every day. Eventually, days will become more predictable for your child. They will begin to think to themselves, after I wake up, it's time to eat breakfast. Or before I go to sleep, it's time to read a book. They will have a solid foundation free of distractions and therefore of insecurity. Another good idea is to limit the number of surprises your child get by always giving him or her a preview of the day to come. Of course, if your family is like most others, you will lead a busy, unpredictable life and cannot possibly be expected to know what's going to happen on every single day. But it's possible to let your child know certain details that can be counted on. Take the example of 6 years old Justin. His parents lived extremely busy, unstructured lives, which meant that Justin had no predictability or sense of transparency in his life. In response, Justin started to refuse to leave his bed in the morning. That way, nothing bad or unpredictable could happen. To combat this behavior, his parents started giving him previews. Before he went to sleep every night, they would give him details about what would be happening in the next day. They would tell him how he would be traveling to school next day and how would they be picking him up from the school. Now, Justin knew what to expect in the next day. As a result of his life was less hectic and confused, he started getting out of the bed again. Don't overload your child's schedule with activities. If a child has activity planned for most of the days of the week, it may be too much. In wanting the best way for your children, some parents sign their kids up for everything. That is soccer, school plays, club meetings, auditions, karate, vaulting, etc., etc. Although the child may look forward to each activity by doing so many things, her life will become focused on competitiveness and what she can achieve rather than enjoying the life. Of course, getting your child involved in sports and other positive activities can be highly beneficial for them. But such activities should not come at the expense of the personal playtime. The best way to organize your child's schedule is to strike balance between their various activities and some downtime. Take Sarah, a mother who decided to structure her daughter's life this way. One weekend, Sarah's entire family was over at her house for Passover. This environment was extremely chaotic, and Sarah's daughter, Emily, got overwhelmed and started acting out aggressively. To calm her down, Sarah took Emily out for a bike ride. This gave Emily the break that she needed for all the activities were taking place. Activities that to her felt like a strict schedule she had to stick to, without time to relax and play. Similarly, Frankie's mom realized that he needed time to just to do nothing. Frankie's dad loved monster trucks and regularly took him along to derbies. Although Frankie thoroughly enjoyed them, his mom noticed that he would always imitate the proceedings and become more aggressive with his toys afterward. To balance out such an intense activity, Frankie's mom scheduled some time for him to play freely and peacefully on his own terms. So, modern life is stressful and anxiety-inducing for many people. But adults are not the only ones affected by the strain. It also has a detrimental effect on children, and many of them are developing anxiety and hypervigilance as a result. By simplifying your child's environment, introducing a stable schedule, and protecting them against the adult world, you can help your child lead a happy, healthy life where they are able to play and flourish. Thanks.